Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get right to it. They have just announced that the death toll has climbed to 182 in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. That does make it the deadliest hurricane since Katrina. And a couple of quick updates for you. The Defense Secretary has just approved the deployment of up to 1,000 active duty soldiers to support ongoing efforts there. There are hundreds that remain missing. You can see the power outages from space since Hurricane Helene ripped through.
And I know the exact path.
It follows its path.
Yeah.
It's an incredible satellite image, Sam. Incredible satellite image of that devastation. And I know Florida has gotten a lot of the attention, but this thing spun and has devastated South Carolina, North Carolina, parts of Georgia, all of it. And we are so thrilled that Lee Rogers, news director and morning news anchor for 98.9 The Word, which covers those areas that are impacted, could take a few minutes and join us this afternoon to explain the latest. Lee, we are so sorry. We are all thinking about you up here in Kansas City, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dana. I appreciate the opportunity. Honestly, in South Carolina, we're thankful that it wasn't as bad as it was up in the North Carolina area, because most of what we're dealing with are just, electricity outages because of all the falling trees. But it's just such a widespread area. It's amazing. It's something we've never seen before as far as the widespread amount of damage that happened. So we have still got nearly 500,000 customers, not just people, but 500,000 customers, electric customers, still without power in South Carolina. But obviously the serious and life-threatening situations are really in the North Carolina, western North Carolina area, the areas that are bordering along South Carolina's northern border with North Carolina, up in the Asheville area and Buncombe County, and also Hendersonville, Waynesville, McDowell, Polk, those counties in those areas, some of the mountainous areas. That's where all the really serious situations are, because you have all these quaint, beautiful little communities there that are built right along streams and rivers, and they really don't see that amount of rainfall in a short period of time like that. Yes, they do experience some flooding, but it hasn't been like this. And part of the problem that we had is there was a cold front that moved through right prior to Hurricane Helene moving through, which dumped a fairly significant amount of rain, about 2 to 3 inches in the area where I am in the upstate of South Carolina.
So the ground was already saturated.
Exactly. Ground was already saturated. Then here comes another 4, 5, 6, 8 inches, depending on where you are in our area. And I've heard reports anywhere from 2 to 3 feet of rain falling in the mountainous areas of North Carolina. I don't have that for a fact. I don't have a whole lot of details on that, but that's what some of the anecdotal things we're getting from maybe some of the Fox News meteorologists.
Yeah.
And those, but they were just inundated with the rain. And of course it comes down those mountains. It all goes into the streams and creeks there. And then we've had whole communities. There's a little town called Chimney Rock, North Carolina. Beautiful little town. I believe that's where a couple of movies were filmed. And it's just completely wiped off the map. There's nothing there, nothing but debris.
So this was a 500-mile swath of devastation. Can you help our listeners here understand why it is so much more challenging to get to those communities? That's what they're saying. Hundreds are still, if not thousands, well, unaccounted for.
I have driven in these areas, in these beautiful, small little mountain two-lane roads that wind through the mountains and the valleys. And like I said, the roadways are up against the mountain on one side and right next to the creek on the other. And the times I've driven there with my family, I noticed, wow, that creek's like right up against the roadway. Boy, I wonder what happens when they get a severe thunderstorm or something or other.
Yeah.
So it's not totally surprising that they had this. It's what is surprising is the amount of rainfall in such a short period of time. And then, of course, the winds. We're used to having the remnants of a hurricane come through the upstate of South Carolina. Hurricane Hugo was the worst that we've ever had. That really impacted the Charlotte area in North Carolina very badly, which is in central North Carolina. But the winds are what really caused the damage here in South Carolina, because we had sustained 40 and 50 mile an hour winds And the trees still here had all had their foliage still on them. So all of these old, large trees we have around here, the ground saturated. It had been that way for a day or two. The winds come through, and then you have 60, 70 mile an hour gusts. It's over. Lights out, literally.
Lee, let me ask you this, because I'm looking at some of the flooding in Chimney Rock that you just mentioned. My God, houses are just floating away. Was there enough lead time for people to get to higher ground, or did a dam break and then boom?
No, it was no dam. It was just the water itself. Then we did have some dams that were topped, or they did in that area.
Got it.
There was no any structures that released suddenly the water. This was all rainfall from the hurricane, and then and like I said, in the North Carolina area, it was more the rainfall than it was the winds. They obviously had the wind issue, but it was just the torrential amount of rain that they got in such a short period of time, just coming down those mountains right into those valleys and creeks and just washing everything away.
So was there lead time to get out, though, Lee? For the people in the smaller towns, was there adequate time to get out?
I'm not certain, because I don't live in that area. We're about an hour south of that. I would sort of say yes. If you had the opportunity, you probably could have gotten out, and I'm not trying to blame the victims here. I'm sure there were some opportunities. I know there was a lot of talk about that. The state authorities here in South Carolina and North Carolina, I do know from a broadcast standpoint, both on radio and television, were letting people know this is going to be a serious life-threatening event. We are going to have torrential rain. So I know that there was some warning. It's not like you in the middle of the night, all of a sudden you got this rain that no one was expecting or had forecast.
Right.
We knew this storm was coming.
So what do you need the most now? What do these communities need? I mean, we've heard the National Guard is heading that way, and that's great.
Right.
But what is the immediate need?
Well, the immediate need, I would say, find a good charity that you believe in, like Samaritan's Purse or the Red Cross.
Yep.
And I would say donate the money, because here's the problem. There are many immediate needs that are being met. I know that there's a group based out of Texas that was doing air flights out of Concord, North Carolina, to the Asheville airport. And delivering supplies. I know there's a group of pilots out of the Greenville Municipal Airport in Greenville, South Carolina, that are flying supplies up there. That's all well and good. That's great. But there's only so much you can do, and that stuff is only going to last for so long. But you have groups like Samaritan's Purse, Red Cross, other organizations. If they have the money, then they can move those funds as needed. That's probably the greatest need. Also, the fact that the National Guard or the U.S. military or whoever is going to be flying choppers in there, that's the greatest need, because these cities and towns are completely cut off. You cannot get in. Asheville, North Carolina, in Buncombe County, at one point, was completely cut off. All of the interstates were flooded or portions washed away. There's I-26, there's I-40. There's sections of there that are still not passable. And I'm talking U.S. interstates that are not passable.
Lee, one of the more heartbreaking things I'm seeing today is the number of deaths of first responders, firefighters, police officers, and sheriff's deputies who are out there working, trying to get people to safety, trying to help, and they got swept away in the floodwaters.
That is certainly one of the issues. I know that here in South Carolina, in Saluda, which is a little south of me, there were two volunteer firefighters that were killed when their fire truck was hit by a falling tree when they were responding to a fire in Saluda, South Carolina. The fire chief and an 18-year-old volunteer firefighter that died serving their community. So it is heartbreaking. We have got, so many people that are trying to do so many things. There's so many individuals and companies and local businesses and just private citizens who have access to either, aviation resources or trucks or whatever, that are doing everything they can to help. I know the federal government has its place and it's doing what it can. People are a little frustrated with the amount of time that's taking, but that's typical of these types of disasters. But once again, this is just so widespread. Some of these areas are so remote and separated by mountainous areas where there's just no way to get to them other than by air.
Lee Rogers, thank you so much for your time. Lee is the news director, morning news anchor for 98.9 WORD. Our thoughts are with all of you. Do not think we are not paying attention. And I know the Odyssey family is going to come together, and we're going to try to raise some money to get you guys some help down there. But please be safe.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Lee, for your time. Be well. If you go to KMBZ.com, and I'm going to post this on all of our social media channels, go to KMBZ.com. Just click on the disaster relief icon. That will take you to a safe website where you can donate directly to the Red Cross. And I think they have 2,000 people on the ground from the Red Cross. man, when you look at some of those towns, the town that he mentioned, the Chimney Town, Sam, my gosh, it's underwater. I mean, it is underwater.
I mean, there were scenic towns along highways that, and I say were, because they're not there anymore.
913-586-7798. Go to KMBZ.com or Odyssey.com. You can click on disaster relief. If you can and would like to help, we would sure appreciate helping our friends down south who are really, what, months, if not years away from rebuilding what Mother Nature has taken. 913-586-7798. Back with much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.